This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, sallallahu sallam wa baraka nabiyyina Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam wa tasliman kathira thumma ma ba'd. Welcome back with us to session number 5 of Ramadan series that we have in here, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. If you guys remember, we've been talking about fiqh of Ramadan. We talked about some of the spirituality of the month of Ramadan and expectations for the month of Ramadan. Tonight, inshallah, as we come much closer to the month of Ramadan, less than 15 days, a lot of people are wondering right now, how can I ensure that my start and beginning of Ramadan is going to be strong, inshallah, azza wa jal. So therefore, we have, inshallah, our title of this session will be Ramadan, a month of change, which means how can I change myself in the month of Ramadan, inshallah, azza wa jal. Alhamdulillah, we're very privileged over here tonight with having our guest speaker with us, inshallah, ta'ala, is Imam Shpendim. From INT, Masjid Richardson. He is going to be talking in the first, inshallah, 20-25 minutes, binillah, on the first step to change in Ramadan, and that is tawbah. How can you kind of like, you know, reset the button and start over? And inshallah, the next 25 minutes, I'll be talking about how to build strong spiritual habits after hopefully you establish your tawbah, inshallah, ta'ala, without, you know, any further delay. Imam Shpendim, inshallah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا أما بعد توبة probably one of those subjects that you really don't want to sit and listen to. Why? Perhaps one of the stereotypes we have is, well, توبة is only for those people who commit major sins. Alhamdulillah, I haven't killed, I haven't committed shirk, I don't do kufr, and so I don't have anything to worry about. So it really doesn't relate to me. I would beg to differ and have us to understand that tawbah is a topic that should be at the heart of every one of us, because it applies to every one of us. Allahu Azza wa Jal in the Qur'an, in Surah An-Nur, the 31st ayah, He says, وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ لَعَلَّكُمْ تُفْلِحُونَ. And turn to Allah in repentance, all of you, جَمِيعًا. That means everybody, no exceptions. Young, old, Muslim yesterday, Muslim all your life, educated in Islamic school or not, everybody. Especially when we think about al-mu'minun, he doesn't say ya ayyuhal mudhnibun or fasiqun or mujrimun. He says to the believers, oh you believers, all of you, repent to Allah, every single one of you. La'allakum tuflihun, so that you will hopefully be successful. And we have Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam telling us in the hadith that's in Sahih al-Jami' كل بني آدم خطاء. So he's again dispelling whatever there may be of a misconception where somebody may think, not me. He says, every single child of Adam is sinful, is a wrongdoer. Now here's where the sisters win, because they sit there and say, Rasulullah alayhi salatu wasalam said, Bani Adam. So it's the men that are the sinners, not the women. Maybe, Allahu alam. But he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, wa khayr al khattain, the best of those who sin are at-tawwabun, those who realize when they've done wrong that they correct their situation by going back to Allahu Jalla Jalalu. What does tawbah mean? What exactly is it? Once again, through the Qur'an, Allah Azza wa Jalla in Surah Al-Dhariyat, the 50th ayah, He says, Jalla wa ala, فَفِرُّوا إِلَى اللَّهِ. Race. Hasten. Rush in your return to Allah Azza wa Jalla. So it is to return back to Allah Jalla wa ala, and to do so without dragging your feet, without wasting time. Somebody may say, well, why repent? Why do I have to do it now? Shouldn't I wait until I'm 60 years old, the retirement age, and then when I go make that final hajj, and then I decide to change my life so that this way, you know, that's the clear point? Is there such a thing as that? That you wait until you're older because when you're younger, you're going to sin again, therefore you don't want to keep sinning and repenting, sinning, repenting? Yes? No? Maybe so? Am I speaking in Albanian? Is that why nobody's responding to me? I want to set the context through this hadith that's in both Bukhari and Muslim that helps us through imagery to realize how critical the situation is. And the part that's from Al-Bukhari is from Ibn Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu an Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, إِنَّ الْمُؤْمِنَ يَرَى ذُنُوبَهُ كَأَنَّهُ قَاعِدٌ تَحْتَ جَبَلٍ يَخَافُ أَن يَقَعَ عَلَيْهِ. He says that the believer sees himself with regards to their sins as though they are sitting under a mountain fearing that it's going to just collapse on them, avalanche. This is the believer. Look at the opposite. He says, وَإِنَّ الْفَاجِرَ يَرَى ذُنُوبَهُ كَذُّبَابٍ مَرَّ عَلَى أَنْفِهِ فَقَالَ بِهِ هَكَذَا. We're told that the sinful person, that they see their sins as though it's this fly that's basically on their nose and they kind of look to swat it away with their hand. Both of them are sins. It's a matter of perspective. The first perspective is that of the believer who understands that it's not about the sin itself, which of course matters, but to really put it into perspective, it's who you're sinning against. It is Rabbul Alameen. Therefore, they look at whatever they're committing, especially the major sins, as being so severe and that their circumstances are so fragile that the world is going to collapse on top of them, as though the sky is going to fall on them. As though they have the weight of a mountain on them and it's going to just do them in. Whereas the sinful person who has allowed for shaitan to have the greater portion of them, they have been convinced that their sins are nothing really, that it's like that little fly that you kind of just swat away from your nose because it looks to kind of, you know, just disturb you and distract you. It annoys you. And the remainder of the hadith is from Muslim. And this is from Anas radiallahu anhu. قَالَ لَلَّهُ نَبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ قَالَ لَلَّهُ تَبَارَكُ وَتَعَالَى أَشَدُّ فَرَحًا بِتَوْبَةِ عَبْدِهِ حِينَ يَتُوبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ أَحَدِكُمْ كَانَ عَلَى رَاحِلَتِهِ بِأَرْضٍ فَلَاتٍ. We'll take this in steps. He says, by Allah, Allah is happier when any one of his servants repents to him, then a traveler who has their animal with all their supplies on it and they are traveling through this vast open wasteland. He says, فَانْفَلَتَتْ مِنْهُ وَعَلَيْهَا طَعَامُهُ وَشَرَابُهُ فَأَيِّسَ مِنْهَا. He says, in his camel, his animal, it escapes him. And it leaves with all of his supplies, his food, his drink, everything. And there's no way he's going to catch it, and he loses hope in ever being able to find it and to get it back. He says, فَأَتَى شَجَرَةً فَاتَّجَعَ فِي ظِلِّهَا قَدْ أَيِّسَ مِنْ رَاحِلَتِي. So what does he do? He sees a tree. He goes and sits under the shade of that tree, having given up any hope of getting his supplies as well as his transportation back. He says, فبينما هو كذلك إذا هو بها قائمة عنده فأخذ بخطامها. He says, and while he's in that state, while he's in that most pitiful condition and situation, basically waiting to die, and he goes to sleep and he wakes up, all of a sudden he sees, voila, the animal is there with everything. What does he do? Wasting no time, he quickly grabs its reins. He doesn't rub his eyes and say, wait a minute, am I dreaming? Pinch himself to see, is this really happening? Or am I, from the dehydration, hallucinating here? Is this an oasis? He does not waste the moment to seize that which is going to save his life. And the Prophet ﷺ said, ثُمَّ قَالَ مِنْ شِدَّةِ الْفَرَحِ اللَّهُمَّ أَنْتَ عَبْدِي وَأَنَا رَبُّكَ أَخْطَأَ مِنْ شِدَّةِ الْفَرَحِ. That this person, who out of being delirious, that his life was just saved, he says mistakenly, oh Allah, I am your master and you are my servant. He spoke words of blasphemy out of a mistake, from the having been lost his mind of how happy he was. You may say, what's that got to do with repentance? If you think about this life being a journey and we have an end destination that we have to make, because if we do not make it, we are doomed. What is our transportation and our supplies? فَتَزَوَّدُوا وَتَزَوَّدُوا فَإِنَّ خَيْرَ الزَّادِ التَّقْوَى. And prepare yourself. And the best of preparation is taqwa, that mindfulness of Allah Azza wa Jal, living your life because of Allah Azza wa Jal, for Him. And you know that you have to get there. And this person, he has that journey, we have our journey. And if and when our iman, our good deeds are taken away from us, if they escape from us, why? Because of whatever it may be of the pitfalls that are along the way, then we're doomed. Because we know that if we do not reach our destination, it's not just a physical death in the way that this person would have suffered, but we're talking about Jahannam, hell, Allah save us from it, Allahumma ameen. So when we think about repentance, I think all of us should understand that in the same way that that traveler seized the opportunity, that repentance was to quickly grab onto that which was going to save him, that we should not delay in the least with regards to repenting to Allahu Rabbul Alameen, running back to Him, racing back to Him, and not putting some type of artificial criteria to say, well, after I finish college, after I get married, after I have my children, after I buy my house, after I make hajj, after I retire, after my kids get married, after the grandkids grow up. Because shaitan's going to keep postponing whatever that criteria that you place. But if we think about repentance, we need to think about who it is that we're repenting to, and it's Allahu Rabbul Alameen. We have to be clear that our relationship with Allah Azza wa Jalla is a relationship of love. We should have no doubts that He Jalla wa Ala loves us. The question is, do we love Him, Subhanahu? And among the ways that we test this is to see how eager are we when we slip and fall and when we make those mistakes, how eager are we to run back to Him? Especially if and when we know that Allah Azza wa Jal, as He tells us in Surah Al-Baqarah, the 222nd ayah, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ. That certainly Allah loves those who repent to Him, the repenters, and He loves those who purify themselves. Repentance, you want Allah Azza wa Jal to love you and to continue to love you. When you do those wrongs, you need to make sure that you do not allow that sin to prevent you from running back to him. That's one of the things that shaitan will do. The same evil being that's going to cause you to sin against Allah Azza wa Jal is going to be the same one that's going to come to you and say, how are you going to now ask Allah for forgiveness? You knew what you were doing was wrong. You knew that it was bad. You think Allah's going to forgive you? Allah Azza wa Jal loves to forgive and he loves those who repent. There are many, many benefits and blessings for the person who repents. Here's one of them. That's in Surah At-Taha, the 82nd ayah. Allah Rabbul Alameen says, وَإِنِّي لَغَفَّارٌ لِمَنْ تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا ثُمَّ اهْتَدَى. He says, and I am certainly the all-forgiving to the person who repents and they have faith and they perform deeds that are righteous and then they remain guided. Allah Azza wa Jal will forgive you that sin. That's how simple it is. Allah Jalla wa Ala will forgive you. And to conclude, we're talking about our salvation. What is salvation? Salvation is that when we stand before him, subhanahu wa ta'ala, that he will bless us to be from those who truly have believed and will be granted entrance into paradise. That's where everything is going to matter the most. On the day that we stand before the King of Kings, during his Supreme Court. And when we think about what Allah Azza wa Jal says in Surah Maryam, the 60th ayah, it says, Jalla wa Ala, إِلَّا مَن تَابَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا فَأُولَٰئِكَ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ وَلَا يُظْلَمُونَ شَيْئًا. He says, except for those who they repent, they have faith, and they perform good deeds, righteous deeds. Those are the people that will enter into paradise and they will not be wronged in the least. Brothers and sisters, let us be honest. This life, no matter how good you have it, it cannot come close to paradise. No matter how long you live enjoying whatever it may be that your senses are finding some sense of enjoyment with. Those enjoyments are not going to last except for minutes. Minutes. And when we know that Allahu Rabbul Alameen has promised us in His Quran and through His Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam of what's in the Sunnah, that which is clearly better and it is eternal, and that the least of what a person in paradise will have will be equal to this whole entire earth, but without all of its problems. Here we complain about it's too humid, mosquitoes, allergies, bills, traffic, and the list can go on forever. In paradise, there's not going to be anything that's in the least going to diminish what there is of greatness and of happiness. So what should we be doing during this month of Ramadan? We want to make sure that we really run back to him, Jalla wa Ala. Especially when we know that the demons are going to be restrained, that we're not going to have those stealth enemies that are always there otherwise whispering to us to do and to act upon impulses. We want to make sure that this Ramadan we truly face Allah Azza wa Jal and we turn to Him and we never turn away. And in case you're wondering, well, how does a person repent? You stop whatever it is that you know you're doing of wrong, whether it be to yourself or to others. Secondly, that you feel remorse inside of yourself for having done whatever that is. having shown Allah Azza wa Jal ugliness while He shows us beauty and love. And the third, that you promise Him sincerely that you are going to do your best not to go back to that. And if there's anything that's including another person, you want to make sure that you mend that relationship, you correct whatever that wrong is. And in doing so, bi-idhnillahi azza wa jal, the conditions for repentance will have been met. This Ramadan, you can be from those whom Allah Azza wa Jal saves them from being punished in hell. And He does this every single night during the nights of Ramadan, as we're told in the authentic ahadith. And I pray that Allah Jalla wa Ala bless us all to be from among them. Allahumma ameen. Wa sallallahu wa sallam ala nabiyyina Muhammad.
JazakAllah khair, Imam Shpendim, for this beautiful reminder about how to start your change towards the month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make our process of change easy, ya Rabbil Alameen. And I hope you guys remember that the first thing you need to do if you would like to start, inshallah, azza wa jal, that change, is the first thing is to stop digging, which means we stop the bad habits that we're doing already. And then, inshallah, hopefully we kind of like have that remorseful moment and regret for what we've done. And then, inshallah, we make the commitment that we'll never go back again to this. And even if we fail, we recalibrate. We keep doing this back and forth, inshallah ta'ala, until we perfect that, bi'inillahi azza wa jal. Just a reminder for the brothers and sisters who are actually watching us live online right now, if they would like to leave any question, inshallah, they can use the comment section, bi'inillahi azza wa jal. So go ahead, you can do that. We still have another 20, 25 minutes, inshallah, on my portion of that speech, bi'inillahi azza wa jal, that talk, before we start taking questions, inshallah. Again, once again, you can post that on the Valley Islamic Center page, bi'inillahi azza wa jal. Also, another thing for us here in the masjid, since Ramadan is coming, jama'ah, one of the things we need to change, inshallah, in Ramadan, is wasting so much plastic bottles. We're still using them here. So, alhamdulillah, the masjid is making an initiative, and also sponsored, mashallah, by the women committee as well, is these bottles that you can use for the entire month of Ramadan and after month of Ramadan, inshallah, azza wa jal. It has the logo, mashallah, fancy, beautiful logo, Valley Ranch Islamic Center. It's actually sold outside for $5 that goes to the masjid, inshallah. So please, make commitment, you know, some change in Ramadan that I'm not going to use plastic bottles anymore. Every night for Taraweeh, fill it up with whatever you want to fill it up with. Water, juice, coffee, tea, as long as it's halal. And you can bring it with you, inshallah, ta'ala, to the Taraweeh, bi'nillahi, tabarak wa ta'ala. Bismillah. Alhamdulillah, Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam wa tasliman kathira. So, inshallah ta'ala, we all now understand, okay, before Ramadan begins, I need to reset the button. Okay, I understand, I messed up a little bit. Every year I promise my Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this year is going to be different. This is going to be the best year, inshallah. I'm not going to make the same mistake like last year. And we do the same mistake like every year. So once you reset the button, what do I need to do next? How can I maintain that momentum after Ramadan begins, inshallah, and after even Ramadan is over? How can I maintain that momentum of keeping a strong spiritual habit in my life? So I'm going to talk to you, inshallah, about this topic in particular. How to continue and maintain that spiritual journey, inshallah, and power as we move on into our life. The first thing we should understand, what does it mean to be spiritual in the first place? I mean, the whole purpose of Ramadan is what? To stop eating and connect, focus on what? On your soul. To be more spiritual. So what do we do to get spiritual? We go read Quran, we pray Taraweeh, and we watch some TV and all that stuff, right? Mix up some things and mess it up again. So we keep doing the right thing, and then sometimes we mess it up with other things. And then we try to recalibrate and so on. So what does it exactly mean to be spiritual? How can I maintain that level of spirituality in Ramadan and after Ramadan, inshallah ta'ala? First of all, I want to make here a disclaimer. We are human beings. Do you guys agree with me? What does that mean? That means you make mistakes. Which means in terms of spirituality, constant spiritual state is a human impossibility. Do you guys agree with me? A constant spiritual state is a human impossibility. You cannot be spiritual all the time. Otherwise, you become what? An angel, because they're spirits, they're souls. They're created from light. They're not like us. Why is this is impossible for us as human beings? First of all, because the Prophet ﷺ said so. Remember the hadith of Hamdallah radiallahu ta'ala when he came to the Prophet, when Abu Bakr as-Siddiq met him in the streets of Medina. قَالَ كَيْفَ أَصْبَحْتَ Good morning, يا حَمْدَلَّهُ كَيْفَ الْحَالِ يَقُلْ قَنَافَكَ حَمْدَلَّهُ He's like, I'm a hypocrite today. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq was shocked. حَمْدَلَّهُ is one of the good sahabis, radiallahu anhu, amazing sahabi. قَالَ مَهْ هَذَا مَا تَقُولُ يَا رَجُلِ اللَّهِ What's wrong with you? Are you okay? قَالَ نَكُونُ عِنْدَ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ There we sit with the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم and we hear from him all these beautiful things. فَكَأَنَّنَا وَالْجَنَّةُ وَالنَّارُ رَائِعَيْنِ We talk to him and we listen to him as if we're seeing Jannah and fire with our own eyes. But then the moment we leave, what happens? We go home and we get distracted with the chores and all the stuff and so on. نَسِينَا كَثِيرًا We forget. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, he's thinking about it. He goes, well, you know what? You're right. That fluctuation is dangerous. Said, if this is the case, then I'm a hypocrite too. They go to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and they talk to him. Ya Rasulullah, we're in big danger, we're in trouble, we're hypocrites. And when they told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam their dilemma, which is the impossibility of remaining in a constant spiritual state all day and night, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam he said, "Qala laysa dalika ma taqul." This is not what you're talking about. This is not what it is. And then he explained to them, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, if you would be at home the way you are with me, then the angels will be shaking hands with you in the street. Which means there will be no reason for the angels to hide from you. You become an angel. I'm sure that each one of us would like to be an angel to take a shortcut to Al-Jannah, but it's not going to happen because we're living in this world. So remember this, that the constant state of spirituality is a human impossibility. I know some of us might say, Alhamdulillah, thank you. Oof, I don't have to even worry about it. No, you need to worry about it. Because you need to keep trying to improve yourself. That's what it means. Not like the khalas, I can't be spiritual. No, I said constant state of spirituality is a human impossibility. But can you be spiritual? Of course. Because that's what the Prophet ﷺ said, Alhamdulillah, and Abu Bakr. قَالَ سَاعَةً وَسَاعَةً Like you have one time for this, sometime like this. Sometimes you feel so energetic and you go all the way up there, and sometimes you feel so low and just, subhanAllah, you become the most human. Human nature, going after your desire. So therefore, it's a matter of struggle. We keep trying to do the best, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. So that's the first thing I want you to understand, that constant state of spirituality is a human impossibility. Number two, spirituality in itself is a pure form. It's a pure form. And in the physical realm we're living in, that's impossible. To get to that level, we're not there yet. Because that's physical chamber that our soul is living in, or at least operates through, obviously, is not perfect. We get injured, we start, you know, producing sometimes najasa, blood, stuff like that. So we're not in that complete, you know, pure form. Spirituality is a complete pure form. So therefore, in that physical existence, it is impossible to arrive at that level. It's impossible. So we'll just keep trying. In the process of reaching that spiritual perfection, we're dealing with the body. And the body has needs. You need to eat. You need to sleep. You need to, you know, enjoy. You need to do this. You need to take some rest. And that's why we cannot reach that perfect level of spirituality. The angels don't have that same need like we have. And that's why لا يعصون الله ما أمرهم ويفعلون ما يأمرون. They never disobey Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they always achieve what they've been ordered to achieve. But for us humans, we've been ordered to pray 5 times a day. What do we do with that, ya jama'ah? There's a lot of shortcuts. And sometimes we say, inshallah, fil jannah. Allahu ghafurur rahim. And we depend so much on Allah's, you know, mercy subhanahu wa ta'ala. Again, so that's that physical realm we're living in, it's kind of delaying us from reaching that perfect level of spirituality. The third thing, do not expect from yourself, do not expect, I use the word expect, do not expect from yourself that constant state of spirituality. Instead, what you need to do, commit yourself to inviting more connectivity every now and then. Be realistic. That's what it means. The Prophet ﷺ says in the hadith, when he mentioned, إِنَّ لِأَهْلِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا وَلِنَفْسِكَ عَلَيْكَ حَقًّا, he mentioned your Allah has, ibadah has haq upon you, has a right upon you. Your family, they have right upon you. Your body has right upon you. And then he said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, فَأَعْطِ كُلَّ ذِي حَقٍ حَقًّا, then give each one of them the haq that you owe to them. So part of this, the same thing too, that your body needs a break, needs some rest. So don't expect from yourself that constant state of spirituality. Instead, invite more connectivity every now and then. Every time you feel down, what do? Recharge, try to connect again. And then when you're connecting, alhamdulillah, go as high as you can. And then when you start getting tired and exhausted, you start slowly and gradually going back again to that point, reconnect again. So invite yourself to more connectivity. Every time you lose that connection, what do you do with it? It's not the end of the world. Reconnect. Every time you feel down, you lost that connection, recover and move on. So you keep trying until you reach that level, inshallah ta'ala, or not perfection, but that is satisfactory, that hopefully, bin Allah Azza wa Jal, lead us to improve our life even more and more. One thing that causes people to lose connection with themselves is what? Expectation. You always expect from yourself to do this, to do that, but when you see yourself getting tired, exhausted, against your human nature even sometimes, you feel disappointed with yourself, and that's it. You don't even try anymore. Like, if I tried this time, I tried last Ramadan, I tried this, I tried that. Because you always expect more than what your body can really handle, more what you can really deal with, more than how much time you have, more than what space you can give to this part, or this project, or this relationship. So therefore, take it easy on yourself. Take it easy on yourself and invite more connectivity, inshallah ta'ala, every now and then. So, based on this, how should we understand the subject of spiritual change and changing habits to better, inshallah ta'ala, habit bin Allah Azza wa Jal in Ramadan? One thing I read, which is a very profound statement from John Maxwell, one of the authors in Leadership, subhanAllah, it's a beautiful, actually, quote. He says that change is not an event. It's a process. You guys understand that? Change is not an event. It's a process. Most people think of change like what? A switch. Ramadan comes. Bismillah. Ramadan switch. Ramadan is over. Sadaqallahu al-Azim. And we're done, right? We think it's a switch. Ramadan comes in. Suddenly we're going to become spiritual all of a sudden. Out of nowhere, you're going to become spiritual. Ramadan is over. What do you expect? Ramadan is over. Khalas. I'm going to go back to my old habits. So you let go. You go with gravity immediately, subhanAllah. Like nothing is holding you. You have to understand Ramadan is an opportunity. It's just an opportunity for you to change. Who brings that change? Yourself. You're going to do that. And change is not an event. It's not one thing that happens. It's a process. When we talk about process, you're going to have to keep trying, and you fail, and you keep trying, and you will fail, and you keep trying. So your spirituality is going up and down, up and down. You're going to always try to upgrade your level, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala, until you pass and until you succeed. So remember, it's a process. What are the grades that of spirituality I'm looking for? Imam al-Ghazali, rahimahullah ta'ala, speaking about purification of the soul, or this purification altogether, he said there are 5 degrees. You need to take it gradual, which means you upgrade from one level to the other one. Let's see what these levels of spirituality, or at least I would say purification, until I get to that holistic, you know, kind of concept of being pure. Number one, if you would like to start with purification, what is it the first thing you start with, Jama? What do you guys think? Huh? In terms of general purification, what would you purify first? How about your body? Start with your body? What does it mean? They call it physical purification. So the first thing you start worrying about is your physical purification. You purify yourself, use the bathroom properly, you take shower regularly, you always clean, alhamdulillah. Number two, when you purify your body well, what comes next? What do you need to worry about? Your deeds, your amal, your actions. So the second level is start worrying about your actions. So your hand don't do anything but halal. Your eyes don't see but halal. Your ears don't hear anything but halal. So you start worrying about, you know, your actions, your deeds. Number three, that I'm, alhamdulillah, physically clean, and then now morally clean, what comes next? The higher level right now. We're going from the lower to the higher level. The purification of what? Of the heart. which means what? Your intentions. You never intend anything but right. You don't hold grudge. You don't hold evil, you know, thoughts. This or actually kind of like intentions to do anything wrong or haram and so on. So your heart always gives you what we call al-azima, which means that resolution and that intention to do right. If you can control your heart, then your body will follow. Like Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah says that the relationship between the heart and the al-jawarih, which means the limbs, is just like the king and the soldiers. Whatever the king, which is the heart, orders, they will follow. So if your heart desires good, your actions will be good. If your heart desires otherwise, your actions are going to do that. So the third level that we're looking for purification is actually the purification of the heart. And that requires lots of training, a lot of training. You're going to have to try your best to keep your heart always under check. Number four, once you get to that level, what comes after that, Jama'ah? The purification of the what? Of the mind. What does that mean? Not even a thought that crosses your mind, but good. That's the hardest thing, right? Because even when you're sitting like this, doing absolutely nothing wrong, suddenly the shaitan starts whispering to you something wrong, right? The Prophet ﷺ said that every insan, every human being, when they're born, a qareen will be assigned to them. A qareen like the jinn or shaitan. And then the Prophet ﷺ, he was asked, Ya Rasulullah, what about you? He goes, even I had a qareen. Even the Prophet had a qareen. He said, وَلَكِنَّ اللَّهَ عَانَنَ عَلَيْهِ فَأَسْلَمُ. But Allah helped me against him, but he became Muslim. فَلَا, so he doesn't whisper anything to me but good. I know most of us would say, can I do this to my qareen? Wallah, that will save me so many troubles, right? Don't even try it, Jama. You spook yourself, trust me. But the thing is that the Prophet ﷺ says, you have that qareen that keeps whispering bad to you. So how can I get to that level of spirituality that even the thoughts in my mind don't cross anything haram or anything that actually whispers haram to me? That's a long journey to go. And then the last and the highest level of purification. He says, rahimahullah ta'ala, قَالْ طَهَارَةُ السِّرِّ, which means the essence, the purification of the essence. And what's the meaning of that? That's a high level of spirituality. The meaning of the purification of the essence is that not just anything that crosses your mind is good. No. Wherever you look, whatever you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's greatness in there. In everything, good or bad. You know, some people, when they see something good, they just say, subhanAllah, so beautiful. When something horrible happens, why? What's wrong with these people? They're innocent, subhanAllah. We don't see the hikmah, the wisdom behind it. But those who truly are so connected, highly connected with Allah Azza wa Jal, they see Allah's wisdom, Allah's hikmah, Allah's knowledge, Allah's capability and power in everything that happens, good or otherwise. Now that is a highest level of purification. It requires a lot of training, which is what we call it al-ihsan, as the Prophet ﷺ mentioned in the hadith. When Jibreel came and he asked, what is al-ihsan? What is al-ihsan? How do I reach that level of ihsan, perfection? قَالْ إِحْسَانَ أَن تَعْبُدَ اللَّهَ كَنَّكَ تَرَاهُ. Al-ihsan is worship Allah as if you see him. And if you could not get to that level of certainty, then you're certain that he sees you. That's what al-ihsan is. If you can get to that level, alhamdulillah, your actions will always be good. Now, do you guys remember these five categories? Can we mention them together right now? What was the number one? The purification of what? Physical purification, right? Your body, your clothes, your place, everything. Number two, your actions and deeds. You purify everything, make it all halal, all good. Number three, the heart and intentions. Because if you intend something bad, your body will follow. So always intend something good. And number four, the mind and thoughts. You just, everything is pure and clear. And number five, the essence. So that whatever that you look around you, you see Allah Azza wa Jal and His power and His greatness. Now that is high level of spirituality. May Allah give you that to you, Rabbil Alameen. So how can I get to that? Let's do practical tips, inshallah ta'ala, on how can I get to that level slowly and gradually. I know it's a big topic, and obviously to arrive at this level in such, you know, short amount of time, such as Ramadan, 30 days in Ramadan, it's not that possible, but we start from there. Remember, change is what, a jama'ah? It's a process. You're beginning the process right now, we'll follow through in Ramadan, and hopefully we'll continue after Ramadan, inshallah. So here are five tips I will give you, inshallah, that will help you change your habits before, in Ramadan, and after the month of Ramadan, inshallah. Number one, If you would like to start to change something, if you want to change something, like we did over here, Jama'ah, we said the bottle, I have to plug this in the lecture anyway. So as you can see, make some little change. You start with small change. Start small. I know a lot of us in Ramadan, we're carrying that burden of guilt throughout the whole year. And now we say that this big amount of guilt requires what, Jama'ah? A lot of good deeds. So we make an unrealistic, you know, schedule and effort. So inshallah, from the beginning of Ramadan, I'm going to be praying 40 rak'ah, not even 20. I'll know two masjid. One will finish quickly, the other one will finish later. So I'll join them both, inshallah ta'ala. You can't do this. You won't survive it. And also, when you fast, you say, I'm not gonna do suhoor. I'll fast without suhoor, inshallah ta'ala, because I want to suffer more. Ya akhi, Allah doesn't want you to suffer, ya akhi. You endure the hardships of fasting without having to put more, you know, on yourself. So start with something small. When the Prophet ﷺ was asked, Ya Rasulullah, أَيُّ الْعَمَلِ أَحَبُّ إِلَى اللَّهِ Which of the good deeds the most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? I mean, we expect he would say, Al-Jahadu fi sabilillah, giving all your money away, this and that. No, he didn't say anything of that stuff. He said, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَدْوَمُهُ وَإِنْقَلْ The most continuous and constant, even if it was little. So it's all about being what, Jama'ah? Being small, but continuous. So start with something small in Ramadan, but continuous. If you know yourself, every year you begin by saying, I'm going to read 3 juz' every day, inshallah ta'ala, and by the next day of Ramadan, you're done. You're not going to continue anymore. Then how about we start with 1 juz' this time? Maybe some, they say 1 full juz' is a lot for me. Half a juz', bismillah, hopefully in the later days of Ramadan, you get more excited, you do more. The point is, start with something little, because that will help, inshallah ta'ala, continue more bi-idhnillahi azza wa jalla. Number 2, now that I know that I need to start with something little, whatever that is that you're going to give, $1 a day, you know, 5 pages a day, anything else. Number 2, when you do your good deeds, make sure to think smart, not hard. Thinking smart, not hard. What does that mean? I don't have to look for something impossible for me to achieve, to feel that I have done something. It's about productivity, not being busy. It's about productivity. Meaning, I can be productive without having to put so much energy that makes me feel tired and exhausted in no time. Like what? In the hadith, the Prophet ﷺ, a man came to the Prophet ﷺ and he said, قَالَ يَا رَسُولُ اللَّهِ إِنَّ شَرَاعَ الْإِسْلَامِ قَدْ كَثُرَتْ عَلَيْهِ The rights of Islam is becoming too many for me. Really, I can't do all of this. So دُلَّنِي عَلَى عَمَلْ And that's the hadith that many people love because it teaches us what to do of the least of these deeds. إِنَّ شَرَاعَ الْإِسْلَامِ قَدْ كَثُرَتْ عَلَيْهِ That the deeds of Islam are too many, so tell me something little that I can do and be continuous to me. But Rasulullah gave him something so simple. قَالْ لَا يَزَالُ لِسَانُكَ رَطْبًا فِي ذِكْرِ اللَّهِ As long as you keep your tongue moist, remembering Allah Azza wa Jal, you're good. Can you imagine now how much effort that needs from you, Jama'ah? You keep your tongue moist, remembering Allah Azza wa Jal. Not much. But when a man asked the Prophet about the best of the deeds I can do, he said, just remember Allah regularly. Saying, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, La ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Astaghfirullah. Words that you already know. You can repeat that over and over again, thousands of times, inshaAllah ta'ala. Also, from these smart good deeds that don't have to be big things, as in the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said that, إِنَّ الرَّجُلْ That the person, a man or woman, will reach the level of a sa'im al-qa'im. You can get the degree and the rank of the one who constantly fasts and constantly do qiyam with what? Bi husni khuluqi, with your good manners. Good manners. You know what does that mean? That means even your regular interaction with people can be the most rewarding for you and the most spiritual. The regular interaction becomes an act of ibadah all of a sudden if you think about good deeds. Think about having good manners, good akhlaq in what you do. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he saw a man by the name Abu Israel, this man was standing in the middle of the sun without talking. So the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam qala malahu, what's wrong with him? Is he okay? Qala Rasulullah nadara, he vowed to fast, stay standing the whole day in the sun and don't take any shade and not talk. That's, he vowed to do these things, to fast all day, not to sit down, to stay in the sun, and not to talk. And the Prophet ﷺ said, like, no. Like, that doesn't work like this. It's not about torturing yourself. Worship is not about torturing yourself. He said, Muruhu, give him the order to sit down in the shade, let him talk, and he can continue fasting. Once again, when it comes to fasting, when it comes to good deeds, it's about acting smart, not so hard. Number three. Okay, now they understand that. So what do? There are so many things that I need to work on, this and that. Alternate your good deeds. What does that mean? Sometimes you say, this day I'm going to read more Quran. And you will. But then what happens? You get tired. Alternate. Instead of you reading Quran for 5-10 hours, no, I would say I would read for 1 hour Quran, and then I'll take half an hour, for example, read Hadith. And then I would say another half an hour, do Dhikr. Another half an hour, I go to the masjid with the people, for example, to help them out. Another hour, I do this, and then I go back to the Quran. Alternate with your good deeds. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتِ means الْبَاقِيَاتُ الصَّالِحَاتِ The ulama says, adhkar. But it also means the good deeds, the numerous good deeds. Like there are a lot of things you can do in order to increase, inshallah, the level of spirituality and ibadah. In the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, يُصْبِحُ عَلَى كُلِّ سُلَامَ أَحَدِكُمْ صَدَقَةً كُلَّ يَوْمٍ تَطْلُعُ فِيهِ الشَّمْسِ Every single day when the sun rises, you're responsible to give charity on behalf of every joint of your body. And he mentioned a few things, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Like what? He mentioned many, many things. Like dhikr was mentioned. He was mentioned helping other people, giving in charity, assisting others, and so on and so. And said, on top of all of this, you can summarize this in praying 2 rak'ah. So eventually, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned that, you know, there are so many things you could do to achieve that level of spirituality, inshallah. Number four. Now that I have so many good things to do, which one comes first? How much should I put in my schedule? How much should I take away from my schedule? Number four, be flexible. And what's the meaning of being flexible? That means be prepared to change your schedule. Be prepared to add some and take some out. Add some and take some out. Because we don't know. Maybe today you got, subhanAllah, you got busy. You had guests coming over. Probably this day you have homework. You have an exam. You have this. You have that. So it depends on your schedule. You're going to have to learn to be flexible in participating with these good deeds without feeling guilty. Remember, you can't be in constant state of spirituality. But in doing that, hopefully, inshallah ta'ala, you will be always rewarded bidn Allah azza wa jal. And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says in the hadith, اِكْلَفُوا مِنَ الْأَعْمَالِ مَا تُطِيقُونَ Whenever you will do something, do as much as you can afford. As much as you can afford. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ They also do and fear Allah azza wa jal as much as you can. Number five and the last point, inshallah tabaraka wa ta'ala. So what do I do to hopefully that I can establish good habits, inshallah, in Ramadan? Number five, look for a guide. Look for a buddy in Ramadan who will be with you, inshallah ta'ala, or at least look for a coach. You see, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he was delivering the message of Allah azza wa jal, he had a wonderful, wonderful partner. Who was his partner, Jama'ah? You know? Jibreel. Right? I know, it's not Abu Bakr, Jibreel, by the way. He always wanted to be in the company of Jibreel. Sometimes he would ask Jibreel, why don't you come and visit us more often? Like, I love your company, why don't you come more often? Jibreel, he says, I can't come on my own. If Allah orders me, I'll come down. And Allah subhanahu revealed that to the Prophet in the Quran. وَمَا نَتَنَزَّلُ إِلَّا بِأَمْرِ رَبِّكَ We only come down, we only descend down by the command of your Lord, which means it's not for me if I would like to come here or not. So even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he desired to be always in the company of someone such as Jibreel, the most purified, you know, that came to earth. So therefore, in our case in this dunya, we would like to look to somebody that we can look up to. You might not find someone easy, but if you can someone who will be on the same level like you, that'd be a buddy system. If you couldn't find a coach that you could look up to and they would help you to teach you what to do, what not to do, then find someone on the same level so you can both grow together, inshallah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he used to receive Jibreel every Ramadan and they would review the Quran together. Or at least Jibreel reviewed the Quran with the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam every Ramadan. In the last year of the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he did that twice. So he always had that company in the month of Ramadan. So 5 things I would like to again to recommend for you, inshallah ta'ala. Hopefully we can establish this as good habits. Number one, that when you start with something small. Don't do like every time you do, start something big, and by the 3rd day of Ramadan, that's it. You lost momentum, and that's it. I can't do anymore. No, start with something small, and start building up, inshallah ta'ala. As a recommendation, you still have about maybe almost a couple of weeks until Ramadan begin, inshallah. Make sure to begin from today. Start doing something from tonight, inshallah, and start building on top of that, bidnillah azza wa jalla. Number two, you do smart, not hard work. What does that mean? Be selective. Use the little things that will give you great maximum reward, inshallah ta'ala, such as dhikrullah azza wa jalla, good manners, and so on. And add to this as you move forward in Ramadan. Number three, alternate. Because I can't keep doing the same thing over and over again, over and over again. I need to alternate every now and then and change. Hopefully, you know, I read Quran, read Hadith, and do something good, and then keep going back again to different acts of ibadah. Number four, be flexible. Because your schedule is depending on how much time you really have, you know, in the day and the night. So therefore, make sure that you stay flexible, inshallah ta'ala. Add, take away, don't feel guilty for doing that. And number five, look for a guide, look for a coach. And if you couldn't find someone who would help you upgrade, then look for someone who would be like you as a buddy system, inshallah, that you both will grow together in the month of Ramadan. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make that process of change for us in Ramadan easy, ya Rabbil Alameen. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to put the love of the Quran in our heart, ya Rabbil Alameen. To put the love for the ibadah and worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, ya Rabbil Alameen. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to guide us in this Ramadan to do that which will be pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal. And I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us among those who will frequently repent back to Allah Azza wa Jal and make their life in this Ramadan the best Ramadan. أقول قولي هذا والحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. Now inshallah ta'ala we can take بإذن الله جل questions. If you have anybody who is watching us online, they can post in the comment section. Inshallah, we'll take your questions. Bidnillahi tabaraka wa ta'ala. Bismillah. This is yours. Okay, bismillah. Any questions, jama'ah? If there are no questions, I'm going to start asking questions now. Oh, bismillah, tafadhal. So the question again is, you're saying that the constant dhikr, if someone is writing the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with their hand, would that be considered dhikr? But what's the purpose of writing the name of Allah azza frequently? Okay, so the question is, if we want to do a constant dhikr, does it mean that... you know, instead of saying it, can I just keep, you know, writing it with my hand, like to maximize basically my reward by reading it while I'm writing it and so on? I mean, there is no doubt there is more reward than this because you're involving right now more than just yani, your tongue. You're involving right now your eyes, your hands, and making that dhikr. But, I'm not sure that the Sahaba, radiallahu anhu, they did that. They're ummiyin mostly, obviously. Besides, what are you going to do with that piece of paper after you're done? What are you going to do with it? I know, nothing planned yet. So it's a hypothetical question. Here, inshallah, ta'ala. You still get the reward, inshallah, for that. Bidnillah azza wa jalla. Naam. Yes. What's the best dhikr?
Allahu alam. It's not on. Where is it? Oh, yeah, slow. I think it's La ilaha illallah. There is also in a hadith that does mention that khayru dhikri al-Qur'an, that you read the Qur'an, that is also from among the best of remembering Allah Azza wa Jal. And Allah knows best.
Any questions, Jama? Okay, let me remind you, let me ask you a question. Here you go, another question. Bismillah. Go ahead. No. No. So the question is, if I would like to do my after Salah Dhikr, which is basically, they asked me to use the microphone as well. So if you basically, you want to do Dhikr after Salah, the sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, after you're done, you stay on your spot, better for you, because as you make your Dhikr, the angels are making dua for you and on your behalf as well, until you move from your spot or lose your wudu. So the question is, I'm sitting in my spot, making my dhikr, hopefully to get that maximum reward for doing that. His question is, do I have to be always attentive to this? Or if my mind starts, you know, flickering around and going all over the place, would I get the same reward? The answer is no. Because the more you engage your senses, the more reward you'll get for it. And even salah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ فِي صَلَاتِهِمْ خَاشِعُونَ. Successful are the believers, those when they pray, they connect. He didn't say successful are the believers, those who pray, because it's already implied when he says successful are the believers. No, successful are the believers, those when they pray, they connect in khushu'. So it's the same thing when you make your dhikr. If your mind is absent, you're still getting the reward for counting the dhikr, but you don't get the same reward like when your mind is also there as you make your dhikr, inshallah ta'ala. Now. So, Sheikh, a question says, if came from the online actually audience, if you have wronged someone who is deceased and they were not Muslims, how can you correct that?
لا أدري. I don't know. I don't have an answer for that one.
Oh, really?
You can answer it, inshallah.
No. So the question, if you wrong someone who is deceased and they were not Muslim, how can you correct that? See, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. I mean, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders us always to forgive as much as we can, obviously. And if we make any mistake towards anybody, that we need to repent. And part of the repentance, if it was involving someone else's right, that you correct that by reconciling with them. So, for example, if it was money, you go and you pay that money back. Unless, of course, you fear that this is going to cause fitna, so you send the money in a certain way that goes back to them. So if someone already died, the ulama, they say it depends. If it was financial, then you need to give that haq back to them or their heirs or anybody who's relative to them. So if the person is talking about a non-Muslim who deceased, for example, and you owe that person money or wrong them in regards to money or property or anything, then you have to fix that situation, whatever that is. But if it was a matter of, you know, kind of like saying something about them or, being unfair to them in a certain way, so it really depends on case-by-case scenario. If there is nothing really that can be done now, then the least people, they need to go and clear their names, if it's required to clear their names. So if you said something in front of other people, you go and you speak otherwise. Go and say, by the way, I know I've said that about him here, and I would like to let you know that I apologize, it was my mistake. So try to reconcile in that fashion, inshallah, tabaraka wa ta'ala. So, fiqh question, Sheikh, about fasting. So, a question from online as well, audience says, if my friend falls ill during the fast and for two years ends up in the hospital, I don't know if it's 2 years or two, but it says 2 years, ends up in the hospital, who determines if they should abstain from fasting? I think maybe 2 days, probably, maybe, Allah knows.
The doctor? So, if a person is ill, and they're in the hospital, then there should certainly be consultation with regards to whoever the medical experts are. And in consultation with the medical experts, they would better be able to tell whether or not the person has the capacity to fast. Meaning that if they fast, are they going to harm themselves? Or are they going to slow down what there may be of the healing process? Or is it even something that's not possible because of medicines that they have to take which are necessary for them to heal or to keep them somewhat stable? So it's a joint communication that has to be between the person themselves, and they need to be honest about their health and how they're feeling. Again, because not to feel like I'm tough, I'm going to make it happen, I'm going to, you know, regardless of how bad I may hurt or whatever the case is, because it's not about punishment. It's about being honest and communicating with the health experts that are there. And if they give the approval, alhamdulillah. If they say 2 days, 2 years, no, you can't, because then a person will naturally look to do the other thing, which is then to, in those cases, if it's a two-year case especially, that they would basically be feeding the hungry. But if it's a two-day thing or a two-week thing, they would look to count those days, make sure they don't forget them, so that thereafter they could look to make them up, inshallah, azza wa jal, and Allah knows best.
So, any question before we take a question from the audience, Jama'ah? Okay, go ahead. So, that's about Tawbah. Someone keeps lying, and then they know they lie, but then they keep asking forgiveness, and they lie again. So, what do we do in this situation?
So, I think when Sheikh Yasir, Allah bless him, had mentioned that none of us are angels, and it's going to be impossible for us to be to that level. But repentance requires a sense of genuineness. That if a person knows that they have a problem with lying, they need to, at least in acknowledging that, take the second step then to ensure that they're putting something in place that's going to better help them to lessen the quantity as well as the severity of lying. It may not be that it's, you know, something that you can flick the switch on and that's it, it takes care of it, but you need to be vigilant. And if you can have others, for example, and this is where sometimes we require a sense of vulnerability. If I know that that's my case and I turn to my brother and say, bro, I need you to help me out, man. I'm having a problem with, you know, not speaking the truth. So kind of help be my mirror. If we were to utilize the people in our family, for example, in that case, our friends, I think that perhaps then with that sense of teamwork, we can better help overcome whatever we have of some of these character flaws. And Allah knows best.
Okay, so a question from online. With regards to the five stages of purification, can one jump these stages or change the order or has to be done in that sequence? MashaAllah, we have awliya over here, tabarakallah. One skips stages, alhamdulillah, from the purification of the body to the purification of the essence. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make it easy for you if you would like to skip these stages. But obviously, it is a natural progression, really. I mean, you if you don't care about purifying yourself, how are you going to care about purifying your deeds? Like, subhanAllah, until this day, with all due respect to the brothers and sisters, subhanAllah, sometimes it's very sad when you go and you visit the bathrooms in the masjid and you see that there's an asterisk there. So many people, because they're in a rush, it's a public bathroom, so they kind of like become extra careful, so they mess up the whole thing. And as a result, they don't purify themselves, their clothes, and so on. So make sure to do it in that sequence, inshallah. But that doesn't mean you wait until you perfect one stage before you move to the other stage. No, you're working on every stage. But at some point, you would be working maybe 60% in one stage, 20% another stage, another 20% another stage, and so on. Or maybe 70% here, 10% here, 20% there. It depends. May Allah subhanahu make it easy for you, Rabbil Alameen. Another question here from that the medical condition, Sheikh. There's a different, not a fiqh question though, but says there's a different feel to Ramadan without the fasting part, meaning someone is not fasting due to medical reasons. They cannot fast. Says, any advice on how to make up for that gap that to increase the iman in the month of Ramadan? Like, I mean, if I'm not fasting because I'm ill, I'm not going to feel it. So how can I still feel Ramadan even though I'm not fasting?
Honestly, I don't know that I can give you an answer because I haven't been there, right? I think part of what we want to pay attention is that Allah Azza wa Jal puts us in predicaments, and we should be grateful to Him for whatever it is of a stage that we're in our lives. And if you want to talk about feeling that spirituality and feeling your iman, it's in recognizing that you have that limitation, and to not in any way think less or to feel you're, you know, being cheated out on something. And this is kind of like that issue with our sisters sometimes, where they think that, you know, Ramadan is coming, I don't want to have, you know, the menses come, therefore let me find out if I can take some medicine so that this way I can feel as though my Ramadan is complete. That's unnatural. Allahu Jalla wa Ala, if that was the case and He wanted that, He would have made it so that women during Ramadan, they don't get their menses. He would have made it such that people, they don't get sick, that they don't get old, that they don't have these issues. So regardless of what, I think part of what we need to come to grips with is that Allahu Jalla wa'ala has decreed it. We need to be content with Allahu Jalla wa'ala's decree and to make the most of what He has given to us instead of looking at what we are lacking in, and in doing so that we're actually hurting ourselves or doing a disservice, and Allah knows best.
No. No. So the question is, if someone is addicted to alcohol or drugs, can they use Ramadan as a turning point in their lives and start recalibrating and do better? So he mentioned something about, you know, the one who drinks, that they're not supposed to come to the masjid for 40 days or so. Did I hear you correctly, right? So as a result, so if Ramadan is coming in 1 week, can they do that? So they have to stay away from the masjid for 40 days before they come back again and start, you know, the process. The answer, that the assumption you're making about the 40 days is not correct. So they don't have to wait, not even for a second. As a matter of fact, drunk people can welcome to come to the masjid. Yani. We had one last night, as a matter of fact, actually. So just came visiting. The thing is, being in a state of intoxication, there is no doubt it's haram, absolutely. However, if someone is coming looking for help in the masjid, it should not be banned as much as we can, inshallah, as long as not disruptive, of course, of the order and so on. And if someone would like to quit drinking, of course, Ramadan is a good opportunity. It's not going to be easy, though, because the problem is not with their drinking alcohol. The problem is with addiction. And that addiction requires professional help, really. So my recommendation, with the spiritual healing they're trying to achieve in Ramadan, they probably maybe should also have some professional, drug or alcohol experts who can help them, inshallah ta'ala, to recover from that bad habit, bidillah azza wa jal. As for the 40 days you're talking about, there's a hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam who said that whoever drinks alcohol from the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, لم تقبل له صلاة 40 ليلة. Like his salah would not be accepted for 40 days. Now his salah not be accepted in terms of reward, don't expect much, but you're still obligated to do it. Like you have to do that salah. And when it comes to al-Iman, it's in the heart, in that sense. Yes, of course, the deed will explain that. So I don't want people to think that since someone is drinking, so how would he be thinking about Ramadan anyway? La wallahi, I don't know what to tell you, but I met somebody, subhanAllah, in my life that I witnessed his janazah as well, who was drunk. But he was so addicted to alcohol that he couldn't stop it, even if he wanted to stop, Allah musta'an, until he died because of alcohol. However, he's always in the masjid, and when Ramadan comes, mashallah, he always there to serve the people who are fasting, until he died because of the alcohol, liver failure, unfortunately. In the hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, a man used to be brought in front of the people for punishment because of drinking alcohol. And one of the sahaba, after some time, he says, قَالَ قَبَّحَهُ اللَّهُ مَا يُكْثَرُ مَا يُتَبِيهِ فِي الْخَمْرِ. Like, what a loser. How often are they going to keep bringing him for this? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was upset. He says, قَالَ لَا تَفْعَ. Don't say that. فَإِنَّهُ يُحِبُّ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ. Because he loves Allah and his messenger. Look, the Prophet speaking about someone who's alcoholic. Because he loves Allah and the messenger. Some of the sahaba who heard that, they said, in that moment in time, I was hoping to be in his place. Why? Because if the Prophet testified for a drunken man to be loving Allah and his messenger, that is a great testimony, ya Jama. The sin did not prevent him from loving Allah and his messenger, but he was too weak to stop that. So inshallah, may Allah make it easy for all the brothers and sisters who are going through these difficulties in their lives. And we ask Allah to make Ramadan, inshallah, the best for them, bin Allah ajal. Barakallahu fikum. So inshallah ta'ala, next week on the same time, bin Allah, we're having our last session of the series of Ramadan with Imam Abdullah Uduro from the Koppel Masjid, inshallah. And our discussion will be about establishing a good order personally and socially. How to start good schedule in Ramadan for your personal schedule and a social schedule, inshallah ta'ala. That's going to be our discussion next week. We hope to see you all there. Barakallahu feekum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.